back to the Thrillogy podcast. My name's Krista, and I'm here with my two co-hosts,
Morgan
and Cameron.
Today, we will be doing a deep dive on psychics and some of their less than savory moves in history. I've seen SVU episodes and even documentaries where psychics or alleged psychics try to insert themselves into investigations, claiming to know where the victim is and so on. I've also seen articles about the scandals of calling into psychic networks, and it was so interesting to me that I had to dive in. Now, when most of us think of psychics, we probably think of a crystal ball or even That's So Raven. And I think similar to the hypnosis episode, we can kind of explore how much we are skeptics ourselves. So before we really even begin, I wanted to ask you guys if you, before we start, believe in psychics and mediums.
So I've never had a reading or anything like that done, but similar to hypnosis, I'm just a natural skeptic on all these kind of things. So I've never believed in psychics or anything like that.
Yeah, I kind of fall into the same boat. It's one of those things that, like when we were talking about hypnosis, it's one of those things that I really want to believe in. I just can't, I guess. And part of that is because I have a hard time believing in it if I haven't actually experienced it. And I've actually only had one case where I actually did go to a psychic once. And it was supposedly one of the best psychics in the area that I was living in at the time. And it was very, very clear that everything she was saying was based on like what I was wearing or like anything that I had already mentioned. So I could really kind of see through it. And I got the vibe that it wasn't actually real. But I don't know. I still would like to believe it. It's real.
Like what specifically? I'm just curious. Like how could you
So you guys all know, and anybody who knows me, they know that I wear hats from time to time, right? Like baseball hats. And I was wearing one of them. It was like a white Calvin Klein baseball hat or something like that. And she, one of her first things that she said to me, she was like, "So I get the feeling that you're in the sports. Is that right?" And like for anybody who knows me, they know that I'm not in the sports, like in the slightest. Like I actually don't care. And so I was like, she's definitely getting this from the hat, but it's I don't know. And then there were other things too. Like I had mentioned at one point throughout our session that I had traveled or something. And she had like one of her things that she said is, "Oh, in the future, I feel like when you're traveling, like this is going to happen to you." But I don't even remember what she said, but it was so vague that it could have really been anything. And like, yeah, if I've told you I like traveling, chances are I'm probably going to travel again in the future, you know? So it was like, if I wasn't being so analytical about it, maybe, but I could tell that everything she was saying was based on either things that I was saying to her or like things that I was wearing or just things along those lines. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So personally, I want to believe I want to believe in it myself because I feel like there could be a select group of people that have this special gift, because I just don't want to believe that the world is cut and dry. Like the universe is infinite. You just never know. But the more I researched, the more I kind of got the same vibes that Cameron was just explaining. And I also want to believe, especially in mediums, because I feel like they help a lot of grieving families, but I'm not naive to levels of scamming that could be going on out there. And I'm, like I said, I'm even more wiser after conducting my research. So like a super brief historical timeline that I'm going to provide, like I said, it's really short, but just a few interesting points that will show like the growth and how psychics kind of emerged. One of the earliest stories or encounters actually goes back to the 8th century. It was a figure called Pythia. Now, that's not their name per se, like her first name, but rather the position that they hold, similar to a priestess, and is always held by a woman. It is said that she would relay the words and wisdoms of the gods. And interestingly enough, of course, catering to the skeptics, based on what we know now, the Pythia was actually inhaling fumes that were naturally emitted from the ground, which was fueling her words and insights. So as you can see, we're already off to an interesting start on talking about psychics and their gifts. Much later on in the Victorian era, so much, much later on, psychics moved into the more performative state that we know today, performing rituals, seances, and in this case, levitations. Daniel Douglas Hume was a traveling show. He was born in Scotland and he eventually moved to Connecticut and was somewhat of an introverted child. Due to some health issues that kind of led him to be a loner, he always felt surrounded by spirits, and it was even said that his cradle would kind of rock back and forth with no one really touching it when he was a baby. He was reported to be able to levitate in and out of windows, and he also felt in touch with the dead and had them write out messages on cards. And something about Hume that I wish I came across in my research was I wanted to know the science of how he performed his levitations. Again, not to be a skeptic, but I just can't picture how that could have been real. Obviously, we know how he could have scammed the people writing messages on cards, but people reported that they really did see him levitating in and out of like first and second story windows.
Just out of curiosity too, when did this take place?
For Pythia was like the 8th century, and then Daniel Hume, which was the guy who did like levitations and kind of like more like a medium than a fortune teller, was the Victorian era.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's the other thing too, is whenever you hear about like mediums or psychics, especially in the past, like, I mean, we thought people were witches and burned them, you know? So like, was this just people thinking something? I mean, it would be so much easier to fool somebody back then it would be now. And even now you can fool people easily too. So, yeah.
Right. Or even just like stories being passed down like so many times where they like start to change up. But clearly the Pythia, she was like high on whatever gases were coming out of the ground. So like that solved that. But this guy, probably it was just a case of telephone, like passing down the stories, like thinking you saw this, you saw something else. Or optical illusions like carnival era. It was interesting to me to learn that psychics even went outside the realm of telling the future. I was also interested to know that Hume, unlike most of the psychics we're going to dive into, never accepted a penny for his performances. A rich, childless couple even wanted to make him their heir, to which he declined. Now, I do have a short list of some of the world's most famous fortune tellers and psychics, and again, going back to kind of Cameron's skepticism in the beginning, it could be open to interpretation because these are vague and probably these things were bound to happen at some point. So to name a few of the most famous, of course, we have Nostradamus, which I think everyone is pretty familiar with, as he is rumored to have predicted historical genocides, terror attacks, and natural disasters. We also have Jean Dixon, who reportedly predicted the assassination of JFK, as well as provided advice to Nixon in the White House during his term. And we have Baba Vanga, a Bulgarian fortune teller, who reported she predicted Brexit, tsunamis, and historical terror attacks.
Funny enough, I actually know of Baba Vanga.
I mean, she's famous. Preach to
the story. Yeah, no, she is very famous. And like, so I've gone on a couple trips to Bulgaria, and there are actually a lot of people who really genuinely believe like what she says is real. So like she does have a very solid following.
Oh, interesting. So there you go. Now the list of psychic techniques is long, such as palm reading, tarot cards, astrology, Ouija boards, crystal balls, and I can't name them all. However, what we'll be focusing on for the remainder of the episode is mostly fortune telling and the crimes that have surrounded fortune telling in the past. It may just very well be that some people do have a gift and a lens into the future. Like I said, I want to be a believer that this is true. But there are also various ways that people scam others into believing they have a gift, which is, like I said, most of what we'll be focusing on today. We all want to believe that psychics use the infamous crystal ball and tell us accurate fortunes, but this is far from the case. Now, I kind of looked into some of the commercial or business techniques that quote-unquote psychics do use. So one of the first techniques that many psychics in business use is probably obvious, and it has its own name. It's called the Barnum Effect. The effect is giving those vague insights that could honestly apply to anyone, and leave room for interpretation by the recipient of the reading. One of the examples that the article gave would be a psychic telling the recipient, "I can tell you have anxiety in social situations." Like, okay, who doesn't have anxiety in social situations? This also could easily be common in the more performative psychics and mediums that may be in a giant room. They start off with something that anyone may relate to, like an illness, a career path, or a name. like saying, I am seeing someone in here that they seem wise, as if they're a teacher. Well, someone in the room is bound to know a teacher. It's not extraordinary. They also tell you what you want to hear. Maybe that you'll find love or that you'll ace your higher education path. It would be a rare incidence for a so-called psychic to point out your darker and less than desirable traits. Similar to the Barnum effect, these psychics also kind of pull the info from the recipient themselves. Again, starting with a very vague statement and getting you to interpret it and provide the facts. A big one is guessing the letter of people's names. Okay, I'm seeing an A, I'm seeing a K. And I did get my palm read in high school and I ran into the exact technique. I think the letter I got was A. She was like, I'm seeing someone with the letter A. It's like, all right, again, not extraordinary.
Well, and one thing too that I want to add when they do stuff like that, and again, this kind of goes back to my story about like my personal experience with a psychic. They'll say stuff like, you know, is it in, with an A? Is it with a K? Is it with a C? Like they'll go through various options and then eventually like, to get to one, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, that, yeah, that's it. And I mean, at the end of the day too, I think a lot of like these psychics and mediums will start out by saying like, I'm thinking of somebody whose name starts with an A. Like they won't specify whether it's not like whether it's a significant other or whether it's like you know, a family member who's passed away, you know, whatever the case might be. So chances are that if you ask somebody, do you have somebody whose name starts with an A or a C or whatever it might be, chances are somebody has some person in their life that has a name that starts with that, you know, and then they kind of take it from there.
Right. And then like the example that the article gave more specifically is like, oh, I'm seeing someone with the letter C. And then again, going back to people that are vulnerable or like desperate for a certain outcome, yeah, they'd be like, oh, it's a K. And then it's like, oh, it's a K. And then they just like, yeah, you know, kind of like continue.
Well, also
on,
if so. you're at the, you know, the psychic's house or their facility, whatever it is, like obviously they're there for a reason. So they're already at right. a higher probability to believe in this. It's not like you're meeting a skeptic on the street, which does sometimes happen. I'm not saying that, but you know, for the majority of these cases, it's someone who wants to believe and they're looking for any reason to believe.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. And well, and it's almost like social engineering is really what it is. It's just a for a different purpose, right? Like you hear about people who like will call people's banks and credit card companies and like use all these questions to find out information about that person to then gain access to their account. I mean, it's kind of the same concept, right? You're just throwing out these generic questions or these generic statements, and then you're able to turn those generic statements into something more, you know, something real.
Right, like narrow it down. Now, one of the techniques that I find most interesting and that I feel would take actually the most skill on the psychic's part is letting the recipient lead the way with their body language and reactions. And then again, Cameron, like even like what you were saying, like they notice maybe you have like an expensive wristwatch or like your sneakers are really beat up, kind of like assessing who you are from that. And I had heard of this technique prior to my research. And similar to adding info of their own to a vague statement, people may smile or wince after the psychic makes a statement, and they'll feed off that. And like I said, even without body language and movements, people's outward appearance may also give hints that they could feed off of. Now, the last one I will mention was the most surprising to me in that I never thought about this beforehand. And to be honest, I'm a little bit disappointed. But going back to the performative setting, if the crowd is in a large room like an auditorium, the psychic or especially a medium may have someone pick the candidate beforehand and engage them in conversation unknowingly. So kind of like I was saying before to Morgan earlier when we were kind of prepping that when you go for a medium reading, whether it's in a small room or a giant one, everyone is going there having suffered a loss, probably still grieving, vulnerable, sensitive. And if this person does send someone around the room to like bond with the people, you're bound to bring up the loss that you suffered. Why are you here tonight? And then that person could just go back to the medium and tell them. So that made me think of Long Island medium a lot because she always has those like big group settings. And of course, just a heads up, but in the age of social media, if you book an appointment, they could simply look you up on social media and go from there.
Again, kind of like what I was saying, it's all just, it's almost like social engineering, right? Just looking. I mean, we put so much information out there. You go to somebody's Instagram account, you can get a pretty good idea about who somebody is. Same thing, like if you find their Facebook, like, and maybe they have a relative who passed away, they probably have a picture, you know, like if somebody's parent passes away, a lot of times people make that like their profile picture or whatever it might be. So it's so easy to tell that stuff.
Definitely. And like, again, going back to social media, even if your account is blocked, but you kind of are in the position where you're in the large room and like the secret shopper is walking around, we're living in an age of oversharing too. So you might, not even social media, but you just are prone to oversharing and you tell the person why you're there and then they can go back like, okay, yeah, this person lost their grandfather to this at this time. So I kind of broke down my research into like three stories. So a bit of story time, three short stories. So the first one we're going to be covering is kind of about the TV psychic networks. So historically speaking, telephone and TV psychics did not become truly popular until about the 1960s. But in the 1990s, they really peaked. In the 90s, pay-per-call services became popular. So for those not sure, 1-800 numbers are typically toll-free, and 1-900 numbers will bill you a set amount per minute. Some 1-800 numbers can also begin free and charge after a certain amount of time. So the idea of these 1-800 and 1-900 numbers opened up the box for fortune tellers' hotlines to set up shop. And that's when Miss Cleo rose to the top amongst the ranks of TV psychics. Miss Cleo reported that she was a shaman that was born in Jamaica. She donned a thick accent and colorful clothing while reading tarot cards on camera. So I think it was kind of like an infomercial, one of those things you wake up to like 2-3 in the morning and the infomercial would be playing. You could call in and have your reading done. So one of her slogans was that the cards don't lie. People will call in asking about love, their child's parents, and wealth. And the Miss Cleo infomercials that can be found on the YouTube show actually seem to be reachable by a 1-800 number. So I'm going to play her infomercial and then you can tell me what techniques that we just went over that you think she's using.
Don't you really want to know?
Okay, I was wondering who the father of my baby was.
All right, let's take a look. The Miss Cleo DNA test. I'm solely searching for the father of your baby. Oh, it's the one that's very unpleasant, okay?
Okay.
And he's also the one that had another girlfriend while he was sleeping with you.
Yes, he did.
Yep, that's him. That's the daddy.
Okay.
But you knew that?
I wasn't sure.
I don't know how. The baby looks just like him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so you were in denial because he has a funny little chin, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and the baby have that same little chin.
Oh my God. Ooh.
The cards can reveal things that you will never see by yourself. Call me now for your free tarot reading.
Call 1-800-980-8637.
It's so comical because it's so generic. Like, again, this totally goes back to somebody feeling like they want the answer to something so desperately.
Exactly.
But like, I mean, if you're calling to find out who the father of your baby is, you're probably not in a great relationship, right? Because
right.
You wouldn't be wondering. So it's like such generic responses. Oh my God.
But at the same time, if you're that person that's calling in, like she said it with such confidence and she picked out specific things that like aren't actually specific, but her talking about the chin, like it's very generic. But if you're that person, I could see how you'd believe it.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely. So clearly vague. I mean, like if you're calling in, like you said, Cameron, about your child's father, like most likely things are rocky. Of course, you probably maybe don't like him and you have a 50-50 chance that the baby's going to look like him. Like it was going to look like one or it's going to look like the other.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So
it's also a chin. Like, I would argue that most people, like most babies have pretty similar chins. Like, I don't think I've ever described a baby as being like, wow, did you see that baby with that weird chin or that big? Like, it's a baby. Their heads are like little balls.
And the best is like, oh my God, not to clown with Sport Caller, but like the best is like Miss Cleo is just like rubbing the temple of her head, like, oh, another one of these calls, like another 100-something bucks in the bag, probably, like
literally.
So yeah. So as you heard at the end of the infomercial, like it is a 1-800 number. So therefore, maybe toll free. So what's the problem? Well, it's only the first few minutes that were toll free. So I just checked that the fine print of the infomercial says the first 3 minutes are free. And that's the time that they would use to gather your demographics and your name and then put you on hold while they connect you to a glimpse of your future, aka the psychic. And there went the free part of your call. So give your information, just like the technique we said before, and then waste your other few minutes on hold and here we go. So now you're connected and the call's going to run you $4.99 a minute. A minute. Okay. Picture buying a latte per minute. And then to put into perspective again, an hour long call is $299.40. Most people would say that they would never need an hour to hear out a tarot card reading. However, they would reel in their callers. Operators or these psychics that could not keep the callers on the line for an extended period of time would be fired. And they did train people to keep people on the phone for a while.
I mean, in a lot of ways, like without taking this episode a whole different direction, this is kind of like people who work phone sex lines. It's kind of the same concept, right? Like you want to keep that person on the phone longer and longer so that you can make more and more money. Like it's the same concept here. It's like it's yeah.
No, definitely. Like it's the same. Those type of phone lines have the same type of infomercials. They're the same. Either it's like 1-800 with like a few minutes or they're 1-900 numbers.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, literally the same concept. So eyebrows began to raise as people started receiving their phone bills, realizing that they never consented to a call with those rates. Or worse, their children made the call and they never received the parental consent and racked up the bill alone. People who refused to pay the charges were sent to collections. And it got so bad that the FTC, or Federal Trade Commission, had to step in. The charges reached the $1 billion mark. It is really easy to recognize that these hotlines preyed on lonely individuals who would be desperate for answers. And the facade of Miss Cleo and the Psychic Readers Network began to thin. To start, callers, as I mentioned, had raked up approximately $1 billion for the network. And that said, the network only assisted with $500 million of debts accrued and was only fined $5 million by the FTC. Now, Miss Cleo herself dodged the brunt of the lawsuits, although 11 charges were brought against her, but she did not serve any jail time. But one of the biggest ironies is that Miss Cleo isn't actually Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo is Yuray Del Harris. She was not born in Jamaica. She was actually born to wealthy parents in the state of Washington. And it probably goes without saying, but she wasn't actually a psychic. According to the Washington Post, Miss Cleo reports that the staff of the network were under poor conditions, making less than 25 cents a minute, and that the lawsuits ruined her life for years on end due to her reputation. Miss Cleo did not put her cards down and continued giving readings that could be priced over $250, but this time around, she reported that she was a voodoo priestess and not a psychic.
Just out of curiosity, where is Miss Cleo today?
She actually did pass away from cancer. Oh. Yeah.
When?
I don't think it was too long ago because the Washington Post article was kind of recent. Let me see. 2016.
Oh. And what was she doing up until that point? Did she like eventually retire?
Well, I guess like she, what it sounds like was that she, before even the Psychic Readers Network, she was writing plays, like screenplays.
Ah, okay.
And I guess that's kind of how they casted her for like the Psychic Readers, like just be the person that you're writing about. Like she was like, I never said that I wasn't someone that was born to like wealthy parents, like, but I just put on the role.
Yeah.
So after the Psychic Readers thing got kind of kiboshed and like that was it for it, it sounds like she did give these readings as a voodoo priestess up and like till the very end. She died pretty young. She was only 53, but She also was like, a fun fact, she was the voice of a character in Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Really?
Yeah. Auntie Poulette, that's what her name is. I think she was, it was a commercial, but I'm not sure. Like one of the radio commercials. And she's been on like talk shows talking about, you know, I don't know if being a psychic or the aftermath of it all, but yeah, she didn't give it up. Not right away. Now that we're done with Miss Cleo, let me first apologize, as I know I'm ruining everyone's faith in magic with this episode, but the scams do not end here. Commercial psychics have been known to essentially extort money out of their customers under the guise that they are working the spiritual side of things to make sure that everything falls into place. Some have gone as far as saying a family is cursed and X amount of dollars can be used to remove the curse. One of the extortionists, I'm not even going to call her a psychic, that I came across in my research was Priscilla DeMauro. She had a customer come to her and report that he wanted to be loved back by a woman named Michelle, who was not reciprocating his feelings. Priscilla told the customer not to worry. She could definitely assist for a fee. New York Magazine reported the man was billed over $700,000.
Get out of here.
I'm serious. Priscilla reported that there was a spirit stalking the man that made it impossible for Michelle to reciprocate his feelings. For a fee, she could trick the spirit into thinking the customer was dead. And then when the woman Michelle unfortunately passed away in real life, Priscilla billed the customer so she could bring Michelle back to life. That was when the customer did become skeptical and brought grand larceny charges against her in the state of New York. Another extortionist, who went by Zoe, also scammed her customer out of over $700,000. Her customer came to her in a time of need, looking for hope after a rough divorce. Zoe had the client buying gold, a precious metal, and talked to her about buying a piece of property that was seen as sacred ground. Again, to remove a curse that was plaguing the customer and her family. The customer drained her life savings until she finally came across an ad for an attorney who specialized in these fortune-telling scams. Zoe's real name was actually Ann Thompson, and this customer was not the first one that she scammed. Zoe, or Ann Thompson, also scammed another Midwestern businessman, claiming that the dark demons were following him, and for a fee of $72,000, she could get rid of them. Again, Zoe, or Thompson, was arrested on grand larceny charges. Interestingly enough, and I hate to say it, but both of these scams took place in New York City. I've always wondered how they pay the rent of these little psychic storefronts in major tourist areas. They are in the hottest spots. They're in the West Village. They're in Soho. One of them in this article was actually in Times Square, like super high rent. And now I see it's by scamming people out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Ironically, fortune telling is actually a misdemeanor in New York City, but it's rarely enforced. And in California, it's actually protected under free speech. Therefore, I would imagine that in California, these scams are even harder to catch. Now, for the last bit of story time, I'm going to go into kind of psychic's role in forensics so that we get our dose of true crime. But I'm sure it goes without saying, but psychics being used in investigations are very controversial. The FBI does not use psychics in their cases, and one agent actually reported that he's never seen a self-proclaimed psychic give anything but vague information that was irrelevant to the case, which I can understand. Anyone can call a tip line and say they're a psychic who believes a body is in a field, and of course, the odds of a dead body being in a field is often high. The idea of psychics and investigations is also dangerous because, similar to the hotlines, their practices prey on people that are desperate for answers, albeit in a different way. One of the more notable psychics in the realm of vague predictions and disappointing families is Sylvia Brown. Brown was originally from Kansas City, Missouri, and reported that she began having her visions at 5 years old and reported that family members had the same gifts. Similar to Miss Cleo, she did start her psychic career working on a phone hotline. She started her own business and even authored books. And to nobody's surprise at this point, her businesses were raking in about $3 million per year. Sylvia Brown has incorrect predictions surrounding a lot of things, including the age she predicted herself to die, COVID-19, the Pope, and magical cures for diseases. But It began to be documented in 1999 that Brown had false predictions to give victims' families when it came to criminal investigations. By this time, Brown was gaining traction in the media world and was appearing on shows like Montel Williams and Larry King Live. Here is a partial list of her untrue predictions. In 1999, Brown reported that Opal Jo Jennings was kidnapped into slavery, but it was later found out that she was killed shortly after being abducted. In 2002, Brown appeared on the Montel Williams show, reporting she was confident that a woman named Linda McClelland, who had been missing, would be found alive in Florida, and she was later found dead in Pennsylvania. In 2003, again on the Montel Williams show, Brown claimed that she was positive that the suspect, or the kidnapper, in the Sean Hornbeck case was a Hispanic man, and that Hornbeck's body would be found dead. Hornbeck was thankfully found alive, and the perp was a white man. To make matters worse, Brown was charging $700 per hour to the police department for her quote-unquote insight. Now, one of Brown's most notorious untrue predictions was surrounding the Amanda Berry case. So, for those unfamiliar, the Berry case gained a lot of media attention, similar to the Elizabeth Smart case. Berry was kidnapped in 2003 when leaving her part-time job at a fast food joint. Berry was held captive along with two other women, Gina DeJesus and Michelle Knight. And in 2004, Sylvia Brown, again on the Montel Williams show, goes on to tell the family of Berry that she knows Amanda will never be seen alive again and her body is somewhere in water. Many report that Berry's mother passed away 2 years later due to a broken heart over her daughter. However, all three of the girls were found alive in May 2013. Now, of course, after Berry was found alive, Brown was found to be radio silent. And it certainly seems that Montel Williams gave Brown one of her biggest platforms to date. And of course, the show also had no comment. Brown didn't come out of these psychic escapades completely unscathed. Prior to her many false predictions, she was actually brought up on fraud charges for taking out loans that put banks at risk, as well as grand theft charges. I'm not sure about the grand theft charges. I don't know if she stole a car or what, but they also took investments from hopefuls surrounding a mining opportunity, but the money wound up being transferred into an account irrelevant to the mining venture. In 1992, Brown and her then husband received only 1 year of probation. On one hand, I truly feel bad for these families who were looking for a beacon of light in harsh times just to be scammed. On the other hand, it did cross my mind to set up shop in the West Village and start reading body language closely. Just kidding, of course. Now, what do you guys think? Are you still skeptics?
Yeah, you didn't do anything to...
I know.
Literally. I hate to say it, but yeah... I haven't been convinced at all that there's anyone real at that.
Yeah, I think I don't even think I know I'm in the same boat. I don't know. I think it's one of those things where I really do want to believe that there is somebody or there are people out there who have this gift, but I feel like the people who have the gift, they're not monetizing it, right? Because I just don't feel like that's what you would do with it. I don't know, but... yeah, still don't believe it. And I'm probably more skeptical now than ever before.
I agree. I think like if anyone had the gift, I'm not saying that I don't believe in it 100%. I'm just saying this didn't help how I felt before.
Yeah. And like I said, what was crazy is that the research online is in abundance. Like I thought this was my first deep dive and I was nervous that I was going to have trouble finding stuff. But there was so much between articles of like similar to people like Thompson that was grand larceny charges brought up scams and stuff. Those were like abundant. The Miss Cleo thing is like pretty famous. That's kind of like what really sparked my interest. So that was easy to find. But even like just finding lists of how they can get you with all these like vague techniques. Like it was so simple. People that were in the career that left because of guilt, like, the info is out there in abundance. And yeah, I agree that I feel like I want to believe. And like, again, I don't want to believe the world is that cut and dry. But similar to what I think you guys were saying is that if someone does have the gift, they're probably not going to monetize it or they're not even going to tell people. because they're going to be seen as frauds. And I'm really doubting the Long Island medium. I always wondered what the technique could be, but now I think I see through it.
You're telling me you did not doubt the Long Island medium before today?
No, not her specifically. No, like, I've always wondered, like, how is it that, like, these people walk into giant rooms? Because, like, okay.
Yeah.
Like we said, like, you could see, like, oh, that person's really flashy, or, like, their clothes right. are tattered. Like, when you're one-on-one, it's easy to be like, oh, they're wincing. This is a sensitive topic. Well, when you're in an auditorium, wherever she performs, I mean, like, these giant places, you don't have, sure. you know, you're not afforded that opportunity to be, like, to really, like, hone in on someone. So I always wondered, and now I'm like, does she have, like, a secret shopper walking around? I mean, reality TV is obviously scripted in its own complete way, so, like, that's different. But, like, she had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's the technique. Or so, I mean, social media, too. But as always, we would love to hear what the listeners think. Did we ruin the magic of psychics and mediums for you, or will you remain a firm believer? Thank you, everyone, for listening and for joining us today. You can find any photos and sources for this case on our website, thrillogypodcast.com.
We release new episodes every Monday, and each week we release two clues leading up to the release of our next episode. The first clue is, I'll catch you on the beach down under. Be sure to check out our Instagram for the second clue later this week.
Thank you again for listening. And as always, you can keep up with all things Thrillogy on social media at ThrillogyPod. And of course, make story requests on ThrillogyPodcast.com.